This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
We are off and rolling on a Tuesday, May 13, 2025 is the date. Welcome to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at _Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer, who's another former Memphis Tiger. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
Gabe, today I'm mourning today.
Okay.
Because I'm having to realize that we live in a world where karma may not actually exist.
Yeah.
And the basketball gods are dead.
Well, no. I think you can become a basketball atheist now because the basketball gods gave a team that didn't deserve it the number one overall pick in Cooper Flagg.
Or,
we'll get to that. Just wait.
Or.
Just wait. But you can be a basketball atheist today. I think there's a lot of people, especially in the Grizzlies orbit, fans.
I am having a crisis of faith.
We'll talk about it in a second. Last night was, like, for Grizzlies fans, a bit of a personal hell, right? Just to a certain extent.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible. It was awful.
You and I on the show yesterday were like, this is the worst case scenario, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
That exact thing happened.
And, of course, it happened. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We'll talk about the NBA draft lottery. Mavs get the number one overall pick in Cooper Flagg. And then, of course, the Spurs in division. Both teams in division with the Grizzlies. Spurs get number two, and they have number 14. So that's fun. That's really fun. We also have some NBA playoffs to talk about. Two extended leads last night. Timberwolves go up 3-1 on the Warriors. Well, Warriors don't have Steph Curry. But the Timberwolves, can I be honest, Connor? And we'll talk about it a little bit more, elaborate. Timberwolves aren't doing anything to impress me right now in this series by any stretch of the imagination. Still think they're kind of a stupid team. Some of that stupidity from a couple of years ago in that Grizzlies-Timberwolves series kind of showing up, even though there's no D'Angelo Russell and all that. But Timberwolves are winning. They're up 3-1, but they're not doing a whole lot to impress me. On the other hand, though, the Knicks, they're doing a lot to impress me. A lot to impress me. Their ability in fourth quarters to just erase leads and take a lead and keep a lead and to play with a certain tenacity against the Celtics team has been impressive. But obviously, that series being clouded by a brutal injury. A brutal injury. We just got news a couple of minutes ago, even though we knew that this was the case, Connor. Like, we knew. Jason Tatum goes down with a non-contact injury with about 3 minutes left in that game last night when the Knicks were taking the lead and running away with it. We learned that he has a ruptured Achilles. He's already gone through surgery. Just brutal, man. Just brutal. And I think the question needs to be asked, at least later in the show we'll answer this, how much has the Eastern Conference been put into flux? How much has the power been shifted away from the Boston Celtics and two other teams in the Eastern Conference with this Jason Tatum injury? And what the Celtics are ultimately going to have to do this offseason with an expiring contract for Kristaps Porzingis, with a team that is very, very highly paid with a lot of money that is going toward that roster. We're going to have to discuss that. We're going to have to discuss that. As far as guests are concerned on today's show, 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, Paranormal, on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And then 6 o'clock, Christian Fowler joins, Normal on a Tuesday at 6 o'clock. All right. NBA draft lottery was last night. And here's the order from 14 to 1. Spurs get the 14th pick. Hawks get the 13th pick. Bulls get the 12th. Blazers get the 11th. Rockets get the 10th. 9th goes the Raptors. 8th, Nets. 7th, Pelicans. 6th, Wizards. By the way, awful for the Wizards. Golly, man.
Awful.
I mean, that's just – and we talked about this with the Pistons a couple of years – the last couple of years. Obviously, they've turned the corner with Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren and all them. And you know, J.B. Bickerstaff handling business. But the Wizards have sort of taken their place as the team that just can't get any luck in the draft lottery process. But they're 6th, Jazz 5th, Hornets 4th, and then the top 3. Philadelphia 76ers, Spurs, and Mavs. So, Sixers. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, potentially Paul George, paired with a number 3 overall pick in a good draft. That's brutal. The Spurs. You have the rookie of the year, Stephon Castle. The other rookie of the year, Victor Wembanyama. You have De'Aaron Fox with a number 2 pick. Good God. And number 1, of course, the Dallas Mavericks. Before we get into the process of how this happened and what we think of it, I do want to point out the fact that Nico Harrison and the Mavericks organization didn't deserve this in the slightest. Do I think the fans deserved it? Sure. I feel good for the fans of the Dallas Mavericks. After the trade for trading away Luka Doncic, bringing in Anthony Davis, all that nonsense, I feel good for the fans. But the organization, and Nico Harrison still being employed, and Patrick Dumont, their governor, they didn't deserve this. They don't. If you trade away Luka Doncic, I think there should be a blanket rule that you don't get the number 1 overall pick when it's Cooper Flagg. You basically get to replace Luka Doncic with a guy that you feel like is going to be an all-star and an all-NBA caliber player. That shouldn't happen. And this was a team that was in the play-in. More on that in a bit. Now, let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks, because it has already been sort of put out there by Tim McMahon at ESPN that they're not going to trade this pick. I know Jay Williams today on ESPN tried to advocate for them trading this pick to go get a big fish, Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kevin Durant. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you attach this pick with assets to go get one of those players when you could just grab Cooper Flagg, who you think could be potentially at that all-star, all-NBA level? This team with Cooper Flagg on it, terrifying, Connor. Terrifying. I know Kyrie Irving has his issues, his ACL, and he's going to have to come back, and he may miss the first half of the season next year. But Anthony Davis, think about Klay Thompson, think about Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, all of these different pieces, and you add Cooper Flagg, who can pass, dribble, shoot, and play defense. Their defense is going to be great. Offensively, they have multiple options. They can shoot the three ball relatively well, especially if Cooper Flagg, his three ball, comes along as he gets into the NBA. But the one thing that I have to point out about Cooper Flagg joining the Mavericks, the size and the length that they will possess will be the best in the NBA. I truly believe that. Anthony Davis and his defensive prowess, his length, his ability, his athleticism, unbelievable. Derek Lively, we know his length, his athleticism, his ability to run the floor at 7'1", unbelievable. Daniel Gafford, very, very similar there. And you add Cooper Flagg to that whole mix, 6'9", long, rangy, one of the best defenders in college basketball last year. The size, the girth, the length of this particular team is going to be something to be reckoned with as soon as Cooper Flagg is drafted on draft night.
They are going to be really good. They'll be really good. The odd thing about this is they only have one player who really matches the Cooper Flagg timeline.
Sure.
So they will have to still be in win-now mode as much as possible. Kyrie's knee turned into string cheese a month and a half ago, and it's going to be interesting to see what he looks like when he comes back. It's going to be, I mean, this is a broken record right now in the NBA. Health. Can this Mavericks team stay healthy? Can you depend on Kyrie Irving to stay healthy? Can you depend on Klay Thompson to stay healthy? Can you depend on Anthony Davis to stay healthy? He already got hurt twice, and he was in Dallas for half a season. Not even half a season. For like 25 games or whatever it was. So that's going to be I understand Jay Williams' point a little bit more because I see what Giannis would be a win now piece because he matches the timeline of the team, try to maximize what you have as much as possible. But at the same time, a lot of people think that Cooper Flagg is the most NBA ready prospect we've seen in a very long time, probably since LeBron or Kevin Durant. His all around game can help you win basketball games now. And he just turned 18. I think we got to remember, he is still very young, and he's already going to be able to have an impact in the NBA. So they're going to be really good next season. Are they going to be like championship level compete? I'm not sure, because it's going to come down to health, and it's going to come down to how much can Cooper Flagg actually give you his rookie season at 18 years old. We've seen some prospects in the past come in and have immediate impact. Sometimes it takes them a year or two. So it'll just be interesting to see, but it's just, I can't believe this stupid team got Cooper Flagg. I cannot believe it. It drives me insane. And it, of course, he's in the Grizzlies division. He's in the Grizzlies conference. And the number two pick, the Spurs are going to get better again. It was just a disaster of a lottery for the Grizzlies yesterday. And I want to make this very clear, because I keep hearing this and seeing this get brought up.
Oh, yes. Do it. Go ahead.
No. Clarify. The Grizzlies would not have gotten Cooper Flagg if they had lost the play-in game.
They would have been in the 14 spot.
They would have been slotted in at number 14 because of the amount of wins they had. Period. There is no other option.
The Mavs were slotted at number 10. The Grizzlies, if they would have lost that game to the Mavs, would have been slotted at 14.
Correct. They would not have Cooper Flagg. Full stop. Stop saying that.
But it was a 1.8% chance for the Mavs.
Yes.
At that number 10 spot.
Brutal.
To get the number one pick, and they did it. The Spurs, to get in the top four, was rather long odds. They handled business and got there, which brings me to the objective Gabe Kuhn, sports talk radio host, take, okay? The NBA draft lottery is not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not doing what it is intended to do. I understand that we have draft lotteries in the NHL and the NBA. The NHL usually, it sorts itself out a little bit better. But in 2018, after the whole process thing with the Philadelphia 76ers, where they had a 25% chance just about every year to get the number one overall pick, and they did, Adam Silver revisited the draft lottery in 2019 and flattened out the odds. So the top teams would only have 14% chance the worst teams would only have a 14% chance to get that number one overall pick, that type of thing, getting the top four. What you want to have in any draft is you want to have the bad teams pick first, get an asset, really good player, so you can have more parity in the National Basketball Association. That's what you want to have. So his revisiting and flattening out of the odds in 2019 defeated a lot of the purpose of what we're supposed to see in a draft situation. When you're a bad team, when you're at the bottom of the league, you should be able to get a good draft pick, a no-doubt draft pick that can help your odds to be a playoff contender, a championship contender in the future. But when we look at the way that last year sorted itself out and this year sorted itself out, the Hawks were in the play-in, had a 3% chance to get the number one overall pick. They get it. The Mavs, again, were a play-in team, right there on the precipice of making the playoffs, just like the Hawks were 2 years ago when they took Zachary Risacher. And they, with a 1.8% chance, get the top pick in the NBA draft. This is not how it's supposed to work out. The bad teams are supposed to be able to get better, and the worst teams in the NBA are slotted 4, 5, and 6, the Hornets, the Jazz, and the Wizards.
It's a flawed system, and it has been for a while now. Like you said, since 2019, here are a couple stats for you. The worst team has never gotten the number one pick. The worst team is picking 5th more often than they're picking in the top two. On average, 2 of the 4 worst teams fall outside the top 4 picks. 9 teams have been responsible for 47 of the 98 total lottery appearances. It is not working. You have got to change this system.
And here is exactly what Adam Silver and the people at the NBA would say when they flatten the odds. We do want to de-incentivize tanking and purposefully losing. Now, one, I don't think in any draft situation in any league in North America you can de-incentivize losing and tanking. You can't do it. When you have better chances to get a number one overall pick, to get a higher draft pick, when you lose games, you're always going to have tanking teams. It's unavoidable. You can't do anything about it. But what I would say back to them, number two, is you're incentivizing a different type of tanking. I have questions now about the Mavs' effort against the Grizzlies in that 8-seed play-in game. I don't know about you. I have questions about it. But even beyond that, we have a confirmed case of a team trying to tank out of the play-in so they could get a higher pick. In 2021, the GM of the Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri, was asked after the season when they missed the play-in and they had an opportunity to play into the Eastern Conference play-in. He was asked about, you know, why did you guys sit your players? Why didn't you, make a run at the playoffs and the play-in? And his response was, you're talking about the play-in. We want to win championships. So he basically confirmed to the media and otherwise that they didn't want to be in the play-in. They wanted a chance to get another asset and a better player. So you're just incentivizing a different type of tanking.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that are on the precipice, close to the play-in, they're deciding in their mind, do I want to take a shot at a second or first seed in my particular conference, or do I want to just sort of get out of here, cut my losses, get a pick? And let's revisit the conversation we were having about the Grizzlies amid the play-in. They lost to the Warriors, didn't get the seventh seed. What was the conversation we were having, Connor? Should they lose to the Mavs so they can keep the pick, the first-round pick, that they ultimately traded away in the Marcus Smart deal? I'm not saying that Zach Kleiman and everybody was really fielding that idea as a reality, but that is a thought process and an idea that definitely crossed minds in the Grizzlies' orbit, in the Grizzlies' organization. Were they going to act on it? No, they clearly didn't. But I think that conversation highlights the different type of tanking that's being incentivized with the way the NBA draft lottery is going right this second.
It's too complicated. It's the two major sports that we have that have little to no controversy when it comes to the draft and the order are baseball and the NFL, because the worst teams get the top pick. It's that simple. Every year, some teams are just going to suck.
Yes.
And they're going to suck out loud. It's not tanking. Sometimes teams just suck. So they should get the top pick. That's how it should be. Just do it based on record and get all of this dumb stuff out of here, because you know what it does? It breeds an environment for the conversation that we're about to have, because it's behind closed doors. There's a lot of moving pieces. You can't trust anything. You have odd coincidences go down in odd years. Certain players go to certain cities in prime situations. Either do it all on TV in front of everybody or do it by record.
So now that we've gotten the objective sports talk radio host Gabe Kuhn takeout, I think we need to get to my fan take, my conspiracy theorist take. It is hard for me to believe last night wasn't rigged for the Mavericks to get that number one overall pick. Are we being serious right now? Luka Doncic trade in the middle of the season, Nico Harrison and that whole organization in flux. The Lakers, by the way, the biggest brand in the National Basketball Association, has a 10-year runway now with a 25-year-old Luka Doncic who's already at superstar level. So you fed your biggest organization, your biggest brand, and on the back end, the team that traded him away to give the Lakers that gift gets Cooper Flagg at the top of the draft. But that's not where it stops, Connor. That's not where it stops. Let's think back into the 80s, Patrick Ewing to New York. LeBron James to the Cavs. Let's think about, where else? Victor Wembanyama to the Spurs. I know that's a little different, but Victor Wembanyama to the Spurs. Perfect. The French connection. We know all that with Boris Diaw and Tony Parker. Derrick Rose to Chicago. And then you get into, when teams trade away their player to a big market, they ultimately get the first overall pick that next year. Cavs. We know that LeBron left for Miami. What did they get next? Kyrie Irving with the number one pick. What happened later, right? Kyrie Irving, you needed one more asset to potentially bring LeBron James back. They got Andrew Wiggins with the number one overall pick and brought LeBron James back. When AD was traded from the Pelicans to the LA Lakers, who had the number one pick that next season in 2019? Yeah, it was the New Orleans Pelicans, and now you have the Mavericks trading away their star to the Lakers, and here's the number one pick for the Mavs. There's way too many coincidences over the years for me not to give this air. There's got to be some air given to these conspiracy theories, because I think, to a certain extent, some of them are real.
It is. Listen, we both understand how hard it would be to rig the NBA draft lottery, but a lot of coincidences keep happening. Selective rigging may be in play here. There are just way too many instances where we have seen the perfect player go to the perfect city after they've made some move to help a bigger market still compete. Listen, if you ask me, do I truly believe the NBA draft lottery is rigged? I would probably tell you no, because the biggest thing that holds back conspiracies like this are loose lips. People would talk. It is so hard to keep a group sure. of people quiet. I understand that we know people who have been in the room. I've also been to a magic show before. I've seen it happen in front of my eyes. They might have David Blaine pulling these ping pong balls. I don't know. Here's the thing. You either make it by record or you do it on TV. Why is it behind closed doors? Why is it the Illuminati process of selecting ping pong balls? Why? Why can't you pull the balls on air? I've never understood why you have to do it behind closed doors in secrecy. Well, the legal firm that's there, that you know, they would be up for fraud. They've literally been indicted for fraud before. Their lawyers cheated on tests. We have proof of that. What are we talking about? A law firm? A law firm's going to be what we look to for the moral compass of the NBA draft lottery? What are we doing?
How many coincidences do you have to give this air? I think we've had more than enough. Since the NBA draft lottery came into its own thing, it became its own thing since the NBA started doing it. The first one, I believe, was Patrick Ewing, if I'm not mistaken.
The frozen envelope. I mean, that's basically been confirmed as real. LeBron was on Pat McAfee a month ago saying that the lottery was rigged.
I don't think there's an accident that I ended up in Cleveland.
You want to really look at me in the face and tell me that LeBron ended up in Cleveland. Derrick Rose ended up in Chicago. Patrick Ewing ended up in New York. Theft Cooper Flagg ended up in Dallas. One of the biggest markets in the NBA, a top four market, was floundering and losing their fan base like a boat that has been shot up and water is coming in. You're telling me that the NBA was just like, oh, 1.8% chance. It just happened to happen. Come on.
A 1.8% chance is just under a 1 in 50 opportunity. You're telling me that the one that they chose, the only opportunity they had last night during the lottery that ended up with the Mavs getting that pick after trading Luka Doncic. I don't know.
I'm not saying it is fishy.
I'm not saying it is.
I'm just saying it's fishy.
You kind of sounded like Bill Burr right there. That's a Bill Burr delivery. I'm not saying that I fully believe it's rigged. But I do, in the back of my mind, every time I see a situation like we saw last night, have to bring it up, have to pose the question. It seems very clear to me that there's a lot of coincidences and a lot of good situations that stars have ended up in over the years because of the NBA draft lottery. Whether it was David Stern or Adam Silver, it feels like there's been a common theme here. Not Geico. But there has been a common theme here. All right. On that note, let's go ahead and get to some NBA playoffs. Jason Tatum tore his Achilles, and then we'll talk about the Knicks having a 3-1 lead and the Timberwolves extending their lead on the Warriors to 3-1. That's all next. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference second-round series between the Celtics and the Knicks was played last night. The Celtics really needed a win to tie it up before heading back to Boston, but they did not get a win. The Knicks pulled away late, 121-113, behind some really good performances from Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, and OG Anunoby. But I think with about 3 minutes left, we got a reminder of how cruel sports can be. Jason Tatum has not had a good playoff run thus far. He had not shot the ball well. He was bottom four in field goal percentage, but last night he really stepped up to the plate. He was phenomenal. 42 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 16 for 28 from the field. He made 7 threes, kept the turnovers to a minimum, was good on the defensive end, had a couple of blocks, a couple of steals, 4 steals to be exact. And he really gave the Boston Celtics a chance to win. Up until the very end, 3 minutes left, he goes down with a non-contact injury, and all of us had the same thing in mind. He was holding his right leg toward his ankle, and we all had the idea, because it was a non-contact injury, that it was an Achilles rupture. We have been given confirmation by Shams Charania today that Jason Tatum has indeed torn and ruptured his Achilles, and he has already gone through surgery. He underwent surgery to repair that torn right Achilles tendon yesterday, and there's going to be a long rehab waiting. He's one of the great young faces of the NBA, five-time first-team All-NBA, multiple all-time All-Star, six, I believe. He's a champion already in his young career at 27 years of age. He has played the most regular season and playoff contests of any player in the NBA since entering the league in 2017, 706 games. He led the Celtics in total points, rebounds, and assists over the last two postseason runs, and of course, the finals in 2024. Absolutely, positively brutal. And I don't know what Jason Tatum's going to look like when he comes back, but here's what I do know, Connor. That Celtics team, by the time he returns, is going to look a whole lot different. And my first thought after the injury last night, assuming the worst, of course, because of the way it happened, was that the Eastern Conference and the power shift is completely gone in the direction of Cavs, Knicks, Pacers, what have you. When you look at the Celtics team, they had two highly paid guys in JT, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. And they have Kristaps Porzingis on an expiring contract. You have a high-paid Derek White. You have a high-paid Drew Holiday. You have Peyton Pritchard on a really, really cheap deal, and that's not going to stay long. Al Horford is a guy who's close to retirement. He's 37 years old, going on 38. So this injury right now, I know for the 2025 playoff season, it obviously shifts the power to the Knicks. They're up 3-1 in this series, looking for an Eastern Conference Finals first time in a long time. But going into the future is what I'm worried about at this moment. The Celtics are going to have to do some soul-searching this offseason and figure out what they need to do with this roster to stay at the level that they have been at the past 2 to 3 years. And Jason Tatum's rehab is going to be a massive part of that.
Yeah, it was already being reported because the Celtics changed ownership. They changed ownership, and the previous owners were willing to pay the tax, to go into the apron, and do all these things to make sure that you had a team out there that could compete for a championship every single season. And because of that, they built one of the best teams we have really seen in the modern era of the NBA. There's no doubt about it. When they are fully healthy, they are one of the best teams we have seen in a very long time. Last night, Jason Tatum going down probably changed the fortune of the future, because we already know that this offseason they were going to have to offload one or two of these guys. But now the conversation will begin. Well, if Jason Tatum's going to miss a full season, how many of these guys should we actually try to let?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40. period, that's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Go and get assets back for and try to build a war chest for when Jason Tatum comes back. Because here's the good news. In recent times, we have seen players that have gone down with Achilles injuries be able to bounce back and mostly be themselves. The biggest example is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
When you watch him play basketball now, it's as if he never tore his Achilles. He looks like Kevin Durant for the most part. Jason Tatum is 27 years old. The best thing that he really does is shoot. He shoots a lot. So that's not going to go away because of an Achilles injury. The rehab, the surgery has gotten a lot better in recent years. Players like Derek White, who are under contract until 2028-29. Peyton Pritchard, like you said, 2027-28. And then Sam Hauser is going to be owed $10 million next season. Are they going to want to pay Sam Hauser $10 million and then $12 million in 2028-29? Drew Holiday, he's got 3 years left on his contract. Kristaps Porzingis is going to be an expiring contract next year. Al Horford is going to be a free agent after this season. What is this team going to look like moving forward? Which guys do they think that they could sell off and get assets back for? I think the number one guy that everyone's going to be circling is probably going to be Derek White.
Yep.
He is going to be the one that I think most teams are going to make phone calls on. So the Celtics have to make a decision. Do you plant your flag and say, this is going to be our team moving forward, bring guys back? Or do you try to prepare for a different era of Celtics basketball? You got a ring from this team. You've had a lot of success from this team. But it feels like whatever the hell's going on with Kristaps Porzingis, he's not the same. Jason Tatum just went down with Achilles injury. Drew Holiday is going to be older. Like you said, Al Horford might retire after this season. How many of these guys are going to be able to be around and still play at this level when Tatum is truly ready to go again? Last night's injury sucked. It was one of those where you see it and you get sad for that player because Jason Tatum was having, we can be honest about it, one of the best games of his career when he got hurt last night. He was single-handedly keeping the Boston Celtics in this game, and it felt like we were heading toward kind of a classic finish in the playoffs between the Celtics and the Knicks. I know that the Knicks were beginning to pull away just a little bit when he got injured.
It happened on an OG Anunoby steal.
Because Jaylen Brown was terrible last night. To be honest, everybody outside of Jason Tatum was bad last night. Not a single guy was good, except for Derek White. Derek White was good in the second half, some in the third, but he wasn't very good down the stretch either. It was just really unfortunate to see. Now, that being said, don't want to take any credit away from the New York Knicks because they would have won that game last night with Jason Tatum out there healthy, without him out there healthy. They were phenomenal. Mikal Bridges, God.
For sure.
In the fourth quarter was unbelievable. Well, the story of the game, though, is Jalen Brunson. His third quarter, I think he had 18 in the third quarter, completely turned around that game. They missed 15 shots in the entire second half. They were unreal. And it is now time, I think, to really start believing maybe the Knicks could get this thing done. They are a really exciting team. The only thing with them is they only have six real guys that they run out there, sometimes seven. But they really only have six that they truly depend on. So is that going to catch up with them eventually? We shall see. Because you got Mitchell Robinson and Miles McBride off the bench. Sometimes they just go with Mitchell Robinson. Sometimes they just go with Miles McBride. It's going to be interesting to see how that depth comes into play later on. We know that today Josh Hart won the minutes award in the NBA, which is not a surprise. Yep. A Tom Thibodeau guy. Just write his name, one of his players' names in for that every single season. So nothing to take away from the Knicks because they were phenomenal last night. They've been phenomenal in this series. They deserved it. Jalen Brunson, that conversation that we had a few weeks ago about
where
is he in the pantheon of Knicks players.
We're getting close.
We're getting close. If he makes the finals, it's gonna be hard to keep him out of, you know, the top five, top six players in Knicks history. Well, they have been really fun to watch. It's just last night could not have gone worse for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Because you were going to go down 3-1 anyway. And to lose Jason Tatum for not only the rest of this season, but most of next season.
It's brutal.
Devastating.
Absolutely brutal. This series, though, Celtics, of course, had another 14-point lead last night, 72-58 in the third quarter, the beginning of the third quarter. We're learning something on the fly that I've already mentioned on the show, but analytics don't measure late game execution or clutch gene. They just don't. The Knicks have all the players that are very good in those late game situations, get to their spots and are clutch. Jalen Brunson, of course, 39 points, 12 assists, only one turnover last night. Mikal Bridges, watching him get to his spots and take that sort of patented fall away jumper in the mid range, that was absolutely beautiful. But it was the same damn thing that has happened to the Celtics in every loss they've taken in this series. They grab a commanding lead, they squander it, and they don't adjust down the stretch because Joe Mazzulla doesn't think they need to adjust. The Celtics have watched themselves lose three games late by clanking threes while simultaneously watching the Knicks get to their spots everywhere on the floor, find good shots, find something they're comfortable with. Mikal in the mid-range last night, I already mentioned. OG Anunoby, Karl-Anthony Towns, Mitchell Robinson at the rim. Jalen Brunson hit a nice three to extend the lead and to help the Knicks win that game last night. So, like, it's just amazing to me that the Celtics seemingly, through these three losses, and I know the Jason Tatum thing's still there, they just didn't learn anything. Just kept trying to do the same thing over and over again, and the Knicks took advantage of it. The Celtics were 12 for 24 from three at half, so they continued to do that. But guess what they were after half? 6 for 24.
18 for 48 to finish.
In fourth quarters, in their losses, in game one, they were 4 for 21 in the fourth quarter. In game two, they were 5 for 24. Last night, they improved a tad bit. They were 9 for 20, but from the three-point line, they were 3 for 12, only 25% from the three-point line in the fourth quarter. You just can't rely consistently on an analytics-based approach when you're talking about the pressure-packed moments on the road in the NBA playoffs, especially in MSG against a talented Knicks team. It was frustrating because I think the series is over now. I think most people are there, especially with the Jason Tatum injury. Just frustrating to watch the Celtics dig their own grave and put themselves in there game after game after game.
It was just, I don't understand why they went away from a lot of the things they did in game three, most notably Peyton Pritchard's minutes.
Yeah.
He was a matchup nightmare for the Knicks in game three. It's one of the main reasons they won that game. And last night, Kristaps Porzingis got more of a run than Peyton Pritchard did. When Kristaps Porzingis looked like a corpse out there, he was terrible, awful. He couldn't hit a layup, couldn't make a free throw.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on with Kristaps Porzingis, but he looked terrible, terrible last night. And you decided to run with him over Peyton Pritchard? I do not understand it. If you're going to have a team that's going to jack up threes, make sure you have one of your better three-point shooters out there in Peyton Pritchard. Another thing that was odd is in Game 3, Joe Mazzulla wanted Drew Holiday to be on Jalen Brunson more. And Jalen Brunson was still good, but Drew Holiday was able to disrupt him a little bit. In this game, it was Derek White.
Yep.
And listen, I love Derek White.
Until the end of the game, then they went with Drew.
Derek White should be an all-star. That's the bit that I've been saying on this show for years now. He's also the guy that, if I'm the Grizzlies, I'm making calls to the Celtics about
Derek
White.
Nice sidebar.
Sidebar. But and if they get Derek White, I'm going to run around the streets. It's going to be amazing. But last night, they had Derek White on Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson was working him last night because Brunson is a big, low center of gravity guard who was pushing him around a little bit. I don't understand why they just didn't have Drew Holiday on him the entire time. Jalen Brunson was also hunting a switch for Al Horford.
Yep.
Listen, Al Horford, Hall of Famer, we've been all over it. He got cooked.
Of course.
Last night. They were hunting him. They were trying to get him matched up on the perimeter.
It's not a good matchup for a 37-38-year-old.
His feet weren't moving fast enough to stay in front of a guy like Jalen Brunson. And you saw a lot. They would sling that ball around, get it back to Brunson, he'd be wide open for a three and knock it down, or wide open for a mid-range and knock it down, or he'd act like he was driving and do a little step back. And Horford just couldn't keep up with that. Mazzulla, listen, I understand that he won a championship last year. He's been bad in these playoffs.
Yeah.
He's just straight up been bad. And that's why this whole Celtics conversation, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but he's got to be better than this. You can't just say, well, it helped us win 60 games and we won a championship last year, so we're just going to keep doing the same thing when the adjustments are right in front of you.
Yes.
They're right in front of you. You did them in game three. So why in game four were they like, you know what, we're going to throw all that stuff out the window and just start shooting again? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep. The Celtics, just in this series, if I'm just doing a blanket statement, they don't have closers while the Knicks have closers. The Knicks have, whether it's OG Anunoby, mostly Jalen Brunson, but you have OG Anunoby out there who can go get a bucket when it gets tough. You have Josh Hart, who's going to get offensive rebounds and scrap and claw and make things happen. Mikal Bridges was awesome in that fourth quarter last night, and he's been awesome.
Unreal.
He had 14 points in game two. 14 points in the fourth quarter of game two. Last night, I think he had 8 or 10, just getting into it, getting to his spots, taking that fall-away jumper, and it's butter every single time. So if I'm just putting a blanket statement on this, You just look at the difference in closing ability between these two rosters and the lack of adjustments the Celtics made, and that ultimately led to their downfall, has led to their downfall. But we're looking, you know, down the pipe at a Knicks-Pacers Eastern Conference Finals. That's fun.
It is fun.
That's
really
fun. That's a Reggie Miller 90s throwback right there.
Two very different styles of basketball. Two very different styles.
One's going to run up and down the floor, run and gun, and one's going to play more in the half court and try to wear you down and be physical.
One team's going to play 9 guys, the other's going to play 6.
Yes.
It's going to be fascinating to see. And what's exciting about this one, you know, knock on all of the wood, barring injury in the next
game. And obviously these series aren't over. Cavs technically have a chance to come back. Celtics too. That's not how
But a Knicks-Pacers healthy series is going to be really fun. For me at least, the Eastern Conference has been a lot better in the playoffs for me than the Western Conference. It's just that, let's be honest, the Timberwolves Warriors, it's got no juice.
There's none to it.
It's got no juice. Juice it is watching the Warriors lose brings me joy.
Sure.
But that's
it. The Timberwolves aren't giving me anything to like really feel great about.
Ant was exciting last night.
Sure.
I don't know who it was.
And Julius Randle is playing some of the best ball of his career. He had a triple-double last game. He had 31 last night on 11 for 21 from the field. And he was 50% from three. Like he's been playing great ball. But here's my issue. The last two games... The last two games. The Timberwolves aren't winning by some wide margin. They won by 5 in Game 3. They won by 7 in Game 4. And they have won every major statistical category. So you're like sitting here like, what exactly is going on? They shot 49% to the Warriors 43 last night. They shot 47% from 3 to the Warriors 29% from 3. They right around the same free throws. They win the rebounding battle. I know they turn the ball over a fair amount, but they force 15 from the Warriors. So you're looking at like the statistical battle, and you're looking at the actual score of these games with the Timberwolves, and they're just letting the Warriors stick around in these moments, and that does not give me a lot of hope for them, as they probably will advance to the Western Conference Finals. I just don't feel great about the matchup against the Nuggets or the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even though they're up 3-1 and they have quote-unquote dominated this series and have a commanding lead at this point, while heading back home, by the way, for Game 5, they just have not given me this overwhelming sense of, oh, this is their year to finally get through and make an NBA Finals. They have just not really performed up to the level that I expect them to live up to, especially after that Lakers series. I thought they looked really good in that Lakers series. This series has just been sort of meh.
Yeah, and it may be just because Steph's not in there, so they know that they don't have to play at 100%. It may be as simple as that. You can tell during the game last night, like in the fourth quarter, they were like, this game's over. This game's over. Like, they were pulling guys. They weren't giving a ton of effort. It was just like,
and explain
we
me,
can wrap
can
this thing
Can you explain
up.
This to me, too? Okay, so the Timberwolves win the rebounding battle, mostly on the defensive boards. They lost the offensive rebounding battle to the Warriors. And mind you, this is a team in the Timberwolves that has Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, Julius Randle, good rebounding guard in Anthony Edwards. Jaden McDaniels can do some of that. Nikhil Alexander-Walker can do some of that. They're huge, and they're long, and they should be able to rebound. They lost the offensive rebounding battle 14-6 last night, giving the Warriors extra opportunities and letting them keep it close. I just this team is an enigma to me. They're confusing. And I don't really, even though they have this 3-1 lead, I don't really feel this overwhelming sense of confidence about what they can accomplish.
It probably is because it has just been so much Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. And the rest of the team, a few of them have had a couple moments. Like, Nikhil Alexander-Walker was good last night. He had 13 points, 5 of 5 from the field. but the whole team hasn't clicked yet. Remember, we've keep saying, like, we're waiting on the Timberwolves in this series to just all be firing on all cylinders at the same time. The one blowout game that they had, Anthony Edwards wasn't good in that game. So it's just like, we're waiting for that moment. And I wonder if playing a team like the Warriors without Steph out there, it's not preparing them for the next round.
No.
Because when you look at the Thunder and Nuggets series, that's a war going on right there.
And they're going to be ready for war no matter who wins. They're going to be ready for war in the Western Conference.
Right. So, you know, I personally think the Timberwolves making it to the finals would be a fun story. And I do wonder if one of the reasons I don't like the Western Conference as much right now is that I genuinely hate the Warriors and I genuinely hate the Thunder. So I'm having to watch these games. I'm having to watch a team that I hate in both of the series. So that might be one of the reasons it's taking my enjoyment from it. But I'm kind of with you. It just feels like the Timberwolves are kind of going through the motions in this series, and they're winning just because Steph's not out there, and the Warriors simply do not have the offensive juice to keep it up. And Steve Kerr, I don't understand what he does sometimes. Like, Kevon Looney in the first half had a huge impact. And then it was that he just disappeared. It's like he got Thanos snapped away. You never saw him again. I don't understand it. He had three offensive rebounds, and he was effective in the first half. They had a lead going into halftime, and then Steve Kerr was like, nah, you're not going to play again. And then the whole Jonathan Kuminga thing.
That's what I'm saying. Can we address the elephant in the room?
Jonathan Kuminga sucks. Jonathan Kuminga is – and then the last two games, he's been awesome.
Can we address the elephant in the room with Jonathan Kuminga? He's played three games since Steph Curry's been out, 18, 30, and 23 on decent efficiency. Why has he not been a part of your plan? What did he do wrong? Does he have, like, what did he do?
Steve Kerr hates young players.
I don't get
hates
it.
Hates them.
I don't understand that.
It's confounding.
Free Jonathan Kuminga. Seriously, get him out of there.
Because my eyeballs tell me a different story than what he's telling me.
Yes.
Every time I see Kuminga play, I'm like, you know who's pretty damn good?
I'm on his side. I'm on Jonathan Kuminga's side.
Yeah.
But seriously, if you're not going to use him like he should be used, because he's showing not only as a young player can he have impact in the regular season, he's doing it in the playoffs. I know that it's losing efforts because you don't have Steph Curry out there. But imagine if you played him alongside Steph Curry, gave him those six-man type minutes, let him be a microwave off the bench.
In the postseason, he's played seven games. He's shooting 50% basically from the field and 44% from three.
I just don't understand
Give the kid a run.
It should be
he's
obvious.
He's 22 years old, and you're acting like he's a 10-year veteran that's proven that he can't perform.
All right. Now, have you seen the updated odds on the NBA Finals winner, the NBA championship, since Jason Tatum went down? So the two teams that have major injuries to their best players are at the bottom. You have the Golden State Warriors plus 6,000 and the Boston Celtics second longest odds plus 2,400. But from there, Denver Nuggets plus 1,500, Cavs plus 1,000, Indiana Pacers plus 950, Timberwolves plus 650, New York Knicks are second shortest odds at plus 500. The betting market has shifted directly to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder are in the minus territory to win the NBA championship this year. They are minus 105, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. And you know what, Connor? I think even though they're in this just knockdown, drag-out series with the Denver Nuggets, I think that's right. I do think that is correct.
Yeah, they should be the favorites.
Since the Celtics are knocked out and Jason Tatum's hurt, I just don't know if there's any other teams top to bottom roster-wise that can deal with the Thunder's depth, with their top line, with their defense, with their perimeter defense. It just feels like the Oklahoma City Thunder, considering the Celtics are on their way out of these playoffs, it just feels like the Oklahoma City Thunder don't really have a close second that can really compete with them in a seven-game series. Now, we'll see what happens with the rest of this Nuggets Thunder series, because it's still ongoing. But if the Thunder get through and face the Timberwolves, I don't give the Timberwolves a whole a massive chance to win that series. It could get a little bit tricky because they're physical and they're long, but I still would give the nod to the Thunder. And then as you talk about like the Knicks or the Pacers coming out of the East, I don't know. I just don't really give either of those teams
a
massive shot against the Thunder. If the Pacers can run up and down, I guess.
Well, I think the Pacers are more similar to the Thunder than we're giving them credit for. They play really similarly
and they're
to the Thunder.
They have a lot of depth.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
That they can match. They run constantly. I have been not that impressed by the Thunder in the playoffs. Sure. I know they beat the living crap out of the Grizzlies. I understand it.
Two of the games. But hey, listen, Ja Morant got hurt. We figured it out. The Grizzlies figured it out. And Ja Morant got hurt.
But it's they just haven't. I know they've had a couple huge blowout games. But they have looked vulnerable.
Yeah,
they have, and that's why I have hope that maybe the Nuggets could get it done. But I'm with you. I would be surprised if the Thunder didn't at least make it to the Western Conference Finals. The Timberwolves might be able to do something, but they just need more consistency. You've got to be consistent to beat a team like the Thunder, and that is why the Pacers and the Knicks, they are consistent. Every game, you're kind of getting the same thing from those teams. You know what you're going to get from the Pacers. You know what you're going to get from the Knicks. Consistency and physicality might be able to take down the Thunder, but they should be the favorites. They should have been the favorites heading into the playoffs to win the championship.
They were.
I think they were. It's just, we say it every year. The biggest factor in the playoffs is health. It is the biggest factor in the health. Go look at all those Warriors championships.
Yep.
One of the main reasons they won them was health. One of the main reasons they didn't win against the Raptors was health. Kevin Durant was out. Klay Thompson got hurt. Health matters so much in the playoffs, and sometimes it's luck of the draw. And right now, when you look at these teams, the teams that have the best odds, it's the healthiest teams in the playoffs that are left.
For sure.
And the Thunder are the healthiest team left in the playoffs.
Yep. They don't have a single injury.
Not a single injury. Nobody's even banged up.
Yeah. And, you know, I know people are doing the same thing they did with the Clippers series with the Nuggets, because the Clippers took a 2-1 lead. And the Nuggets looked like they were slow and they were, you know, not moving very well, that whole thing. People are doing the same thing. It's hard to count out the Nuggets, though, isn't it? It's just hard.
It is. As long as they have Jokic, Murray, and Gordon, they got a shot.
And I don't expect Jokic to continue to play as badly as he has offensively these last three games. But still, I think that these odds do sort of represent how I feel for the most part.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I think the only thing I would flip would be the Pacers ahead of the Timberwolves.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. The Pacers they have not gotten the love that I think they deserve.
They beat the living crap out of people.
And they were in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, so they have experience in these moments. And they've shown, Tyrese Halliburton's shown, he's clutch. He's shown that he, you know, fourth quarters, if you need him out of comeback, if you need to make something happen, he can go do that.
The Pacers are kind of smoke and mirrors, too. They want you to believe that Tyrese Halliburton's the guy you got to worry about,
and you'll focus on him
and
while
then
the rest
Pascal,
are
Andrew Nimhard,
whooping your ass.
Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah. Miles Turner's hitting step back threes, right. And you're like, what in the hell? Like,
and then Aaron Nesmith. Yeah. Everyone forgets about Aaron Nesmith.
T.J. McConnell comes off the bench like a demon.
Yes. Yes, him and his tiny hands. He's got tiny hands.
Okay. Yeah. Can he pick it?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how this all plays out. It's going to be interesting to watch. But the Thunder are -105, according to most major sports books, and -105 in FanDuel Sportsbook to be.
Take away predictions and who we think is actually going to win. Of the teams that are left right now, what would your dream NBA Finals matchup be?
Dream.
Like, which one would you enjoy the most?
I think Thunder Knicks is what I would want to see.
Okay.
I'd want to see.
I think I would be Knicks Nuggets.
Knicks Nuggets.
Just because I hate the Thunder. So okay. I don't want them to be there.
Yeah, but doesn't it kind of feel like the Thunder, they've been approaching their time. They like this feels like their moment.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see them get their teeth kicked in one more time though.
Yeah.
That stupid commercial. I hate it so much.
Which
I can't
one?
Stand it.
I mean, which one? There's several.
The one
you're talking about, the one
them.
Where they're all wearing the same thing?
Yeah.
Why are their commercials so horrible?
Because they
because
got
before
no,
that they had the what a pro once. Was it the What a Pro Once commercial?
Yeah, that made me want to drive my head through the TV.
Somebody needs to come up with better ideas for marketing for those guys. Because these commercials with them are just corny and nasty. No one likes them.
It's that
commercial,
turn.
That commercial and the Jalen Green Wingstop commercial, I think people don't like.
The Adidas commercials with Ant are excellent.
Yeah, of course.
Simple. They keep it simple.
Yeah. And he's also a very marketable superstar, let's be honest.
Oh, Nick, by the way, my buddy Justin Lewis just sent in Knicks Wolves, so because that would determine who won the cat trade too. Knicks Wolves would be fun.
Okay.
That would be fun.
That's a
good
call.
And you had Dante DiVincenzo. He'd just be looking across. Like, could yeah. you imagine if the Knicks won and he had to
that's
watch
a,
it?
That's a good
that
one.
That commercial's great.
That's a low-key one, though, by the yeah. way. That's a good matchup.
Good call.
Good
call
by Justin. All right, now let's go ahead and get into hour number two. Jeff Calkins will join on the other side right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.